11, which is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So, Jennifer, I invite you to share your experience with us.
Thank you. I'm going to move you guys over here a little bit.
Hi, Terry.
I'm Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jennifer.
For anybody who hasn't been here before or doesn't know me, which I don't think is anybody, but maybe here, my sobriety date is May 4th, 1991. My home group is the God Calling Meeting, Friday nights at 7 o'clock. We were at Kingsley United Methodist Church. I'm going to announce here first that we will be moving to a Zoom format next week. Terry will have all the information first, and she'll get it on the website because she's so good at doing that. I'll also put it on the Facebook sites if you want to join us. It is an 11-step prayer and meditation meeting, so I'm kind of excited for tonight because this is a step that we spend a lot of time on there. I have a sponsor. She has a spiritual guide. If you don't have a sponsor, I'd suggest you get one, but I pretty much know everybody here does, and I even kind of know who their sponsors are. It's really a close-knit group tonight. So, anyway, I want to thank Kevin for these beautiful, I don't know if you folks at home can see Kevin and the group for buying these beautiful scrolls of the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts of world service. There was nothing on these walls. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. They're beautiful. And if you look at step 11, you know, I've been bringing the poster board, you know, third grade level poster board of each step. It's got more words than, you know, really any other step. And I'm so grateful because I would have run out of marker, ended up writing in a crayon. I'm so glad that you brought these before I had to do 11 and 12, because they're both really good. So, anyway, we left off last week with step 10, the first of the growth steps, the three growth steps. Tonight we're going to look at the second growth step, which is step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. Prayer and meditation, I didn't know too much about when I got here. Wasn't doing a lot of praying out there when I was drinking, and never stopped long enough to meditate on anything, really. Just kind of impulsive. So when I got here, I really, you know, I didn't have those. But prayer and meditation are how we connect with our higher power. So by the time I got to step 11, if I had done the steps in order, which is suggested, I had learned the third step prayer. I had the seventh step prayer, both beautiful prayers that I still use every day. In the 12 and 12 for the 11th step, it offers the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi as a representative prayer, because we need to, you know, kind of, I needed to learn about prayer. And I love beautiful prayers today, and I kind of collect them. My basic morning prayer right from the beginning was, you know, God help me to stay clean and sober today in mind, body, and spirit. And that's still the prayer I say before I even open my eyes in the morning. For me, step 11, though, itself, the step itself is a prayer to me, which I use on a daily basis. I brought a couple prayers I wanted to share with you, just simple ones. My sponsor's prayer in the morning is, "My Creator, help me to be divinely guided, guarded, prospered, and protected today." I have a Buddhist friend whose prayer is, "May all beings have happiness and be free from suffering." A different prayer that that I came across, a Native American prayer. May the warm winds of heaven blow softly upon your home. May the Spirit bless all who enter there. May your moccasins make happy tracks in many snows. And may the rainbow always touch your shoulder. Hold on to what is good, even if it is a handful of earth. Hold on to what you believe, even if it is a tree which stands by itself. Hold on to what you must do, even if it is a long way from here. Hold on to life, even if it's easier to let go. Hold on to my hand, even when I have gone from you. So I like these beautiful prayers from many, you know, not just Judeo-Christian based prayers, but from many places, many spiritualities. Then we came to meditation. Didn't know much about that either when I got here. Although I thought I did, because, you know, I minored in philosophy in college and I took all those Eastern philosophy classes, thought I was an expert. But I never actually did it. And it's so much, it works so much better if you're not drunk, too, I noticed. So I'm not an expert. I wasn't an expert on meditation, not an expert now, but I have taken some classes, some meditation classes over the years. And for a while, I belonged to a strange cult-like group that did a lot of meditation. I kind of took the meditative practice and left the cult part to them. But yeah, after a while, that didn't seem like a good idea. But I did learn to meditate for long periods of time, and so it has become a practice for me, a daily practice. Everyone who I sponsor knows that from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock every day, I am not available. I shut off my phone. I shut off all kinds of communication devices and that's my quiet time. I read, I pray, and I meditate during that time. That started when I first came in. That's not something that I even developed. It just happened organically for me. It's a renewal period for me, a refreshing period, because I can get going in the morning and just, wear myself out. So I take a refresher every day, and then I can go on and be of some use for the rest of the day. I have a mantra now that I meditate with. That's not necessary. You know, there's no wrong way to do a right thing. Jim Nelson used to teach me that. There's no wrong way to meditate. It's a quieting of the mind. I have a mantra because that works for me. For me, meditation is a return to the here and the now. I so often can get off in later on, tomorrow, next week, next year, and lose touch with the present moment. Meditation is a tool for us to come back to today. And the 11th step is all about today. So it makes sense that meditation is a primary part of it. When I am quiet for a while, I can hear the message that my higher power is sending me. That intuitive sense that we talked about in the 10th, coming to an 11th step, that sixth sense, becomes more attuned if I stay quiet. I can hear. I spend a lot of time talking, so it's important for me to take definite time to be quiet and listen. So step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, and that's how we make contact with that, is through prayer and meditation, as we understand him praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. The big book has some specific directions on how to do that, to get that knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. It suggests that when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. That's our nightly inventory that we talked about wasn't in step 10, even though everybody thinks it is, and even the 12 and 12 says that. It is in step 11. And we look at our day, ask ourselves, were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Have we hurt somebody? If we have, we make plans to make reparations. We ask for forgiveness, what amends we can make or corrective actions. Early in my recovery, I would write all that out before I went to sleep at night. That seemed to help. Some people, I've seen these and you've probably seen them too, fill out a list of qualities of God's will and qualities of self-will, and hope that, they start to move from one side to the other, and it gives them, an idea, some sort of barometer about their spiritual progress. But either way, to take that inventory before we go to sleep or before I go to sleep helps me to rest, a little more calmly and peacefully. Big Book then suggests that on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. That's the exact quote. Now this was like a revelation to me. I'm like, what? On awakening? That's when I think about today? I don't think about today like yesterday. I don't think about today last week. I think about today. This step so much brings me back into, this is a one day at a time and this day only program. Life. Universe. So it was very illuminating for me when I read that. I was like, whoa! Okay, that's great. I don't have to do tomorrow tonight. I can do tomorrow upon awakening. I can think about the 24 hours ahead. As much as Jim and Loretta and I are planning to go walk at the mall tomorrow morning, we will know upon awakening whether we're actually going to do that, right? Right. So, yeah. And it's okay. It's okay, because I used to plan tomorrow, today, then it wouldn't work out, then I'd be disappointed, my expectations would be, shredded, and I wouldn't know what to do with myself. But I don't have to do that anymore. it's just one sentence in the Big Book that just was like, ning! And so many parts of the Big Book are like that for me. It just woke me up. I was almost never at the place I was at the time I was there. And this is why I love this step so much. It brings me back to being here now. I use that morning prayer every day. And this actually is a prayer for me, step 11. Creator, grant me the knowledge of your will for me today. Power to carry that out. Big Book also suggests that when we get stuck throughout the day or jammed up with something, that we pause. That's almost a brief meditation period. Maybe it's just a minute, or if you have it, 5 minutes. We pause and we ask for an insight or an intuitive thought, some sort of direction. I think the book says right about here, we are undisciplined people. So we let God discipline us in the way that we've just outlined. I'm pretty sure that this is where that applies. That awareness will come to me if I do that, if I stop, if I don't just, run on empty, run on fumes. And I have more energy through the day if I take those moments to pause when I'm jammed up or I don't know what to do next. For myself, prayer and meditation have helped me build a conscious contact with my Creator throughout the day, my higher power, which is love. Once I've asked for the knowledge of God's will for me today and for the power to carry that out, I can let my day go and trust that whatever comes to me is what's supposed to come to me. If we're supposed to walk in the morning, that's what's going to happen. If we're not, it will not. If I'm supposed to talk to Gretchen, she will call. Whoever comes into my path, whatever situation, that's what's supposed to happen. I have turned it over. I've given this day to a power greater than myself, to the universe, and let it unfold. Just as importantly, I trust that whatever does come in my path will whether that's a blessing or a challenge, you know, that I'm going to be given the power. Tells me I will. Right there. Power to carry that out. So that's pretty much my experience with the 11th step. I could really talk about this step all night, and but I want to end with a prayer. And this is the Lord's Prayer, but it's a translation directly from ancient Aramaic to English. It's different from the familiar translation from Aramaic to Greek to Latin to English. So it's a little closer to the original message. I myself love the words that are closer to the original words. And it says, O cosmic birther, from whom the breath of life comes, who fills all realms of sound, light, and vibration, may your light be experienced in my utmost holiest, your heavenly domain approaches. Let your will come true in the universe, all that vibrates, just as on earth, all that is material and dense. Give us wisdom for our daily need. Detach the fetters of faults that bind us, like we let go of guilt of others. Let us not be lost in superficial things, but let us be freed from that which keeps us off from our true purpose. From you comes all working will, the lively strength to act, the song that beautifies all and renews itself from age to age, sealed in trust, faith, and truth. Amen. That's my part.
Thank you, Jennifer. So now we have time for questions and answers. Where is that coming from? All right.
You're not going to get away that easy.
Oh, no.
Hey, you handed me a mic.
Let's go.
I'm out.
I love how you described the beginning of that step, but what I've always wondered was when it says, praying for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. What do you use as the power? What do you think is the power that you're given? I mean, is it the use of the steps? Is it the use of your support system? What do you call power? How do you define power? Power is strength, but
right.
How do you achieve it? What is it to you?
My first thought when you asked that question, as you were asking it, Loretta, was I will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle me. But I agree, yeah.
Could you repeat the question so we know what you're answering?
Yeah, you can't hear, you didn't hear her?
No.
They're not.
No. Ask them to use their outside voice and speak into the mic.
Terry says, speak into the mic and use your outside voice. Yeah. Loretta said, me? Really? She's left. Yeah. She asked, what is the power that I use? You know, knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. And I said, my first thought as she was asking that was the promise that I will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. But you mentioned the tools, and the tools, of course, are part of that too. The steps, my sponsor, prayer. Yeah, I guess I use those too. That's all power, and it's all coming from the same source, which is my higher power. But there are situations that come up that I don't intuitively know how to handle, and I need to make a phone call, or I need to do some writing. We have a heck of a toolkit. You're right about that. But some situations that come during a day, I do know what to do intuitively, because I stay in that state of pretty close to prayer all day. You know, I don't get too far away from it because I can get lost. Thank you.
Who else has a question for Jennifer?
She'll hate us by the end of this.
Don't hate me on the walk tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jim. He's using his outside voice, Terry.
Forms of meditation that I use, one of them is music. I love orchestras, big orchestra music, playing soft music when I meditate. Sometimes I get lost in the music, and it feels good just to leave everything behind. And you were talking about that, the power. The power is when you overcome the fear. And you do it anyways. You have to overcome that. And by doing the meditation, doing the prayer, doing the step, you just say, all right, let's go do it. You know, like if you're going up to do a lead or something like that, you ask God, let me help someone tonight, even if it's just me. And sometimes you go up there and you have fear of what am I going to say or what am I going to do, or taking on a job or doing something out of the ordinary. And if you ask and you get through the fear, then the power is with you. And you feel it. You can actually feel it, which is amazing. So, my question is, do you use all different kinds of music to meditate, or do you use no music, or what do you do?
Native American flute music.
Yeah, we had some at our Axe Anonymous.
Gretchen's here.
I kind of like this. Hi, everyone. Gretchen, alcoholic. So, in all seriousness, for those of us who don't have the privilege of extended amounts of time to sit and pray and meditate for 2 hours each day.
I just need to age a little, that's all.
Is that what it is?
Right.
No, seriously, because I get asked this, and you know, and of course I'm in this category as well. What do you offer to people who don't have the ability to set segmented amounts of time aside each day to get grounded?
Up a half an hour earlier. And set
well, aside. No. Those of us like me would not, no.
Not do that.
Not do that. But I mean, life has challenges, and you know, especially for people with young children,
right.
You know, even trying to do that, it becomes obviously difficult. So what do you offer is, you know, maybe a suggestion in how to get connected and grounded with the higher power through prayer and meditation when your time's limited?
I was a person with a small child in this program. So I wasn't kidding. Get up a half an hour early. That's what I did. I mean, when he was going to school or preschool, you know, I had to get up at 5. But I needed that time. I needed to get centered. I needed to have time for prayer and meditation. That is actually what I would suggest. Maybe your time that you can block out is in the evening, you know, but there's some part of everybody's day where they can stretch another 15 minutes to a half an hour to do this. I like to do it in the morning so that I start my day, you know, on the right foot, you know, connected. As I say, I need to be connected in the morning. I can get up and start running things on my will, and you know, we'll be going sideways real quick. My husband and I now, because we're older, so you do. We both do our meditation together, but I still get up a half an hour before he does, so that I have time to myself, because, you know, I walked in here, this, and I knew that this was not as social as my life is now with friends in AA. This is not a social gathering. This is me and God. So I start every day with me and God, and that seems to work. So, you good with that?
Thank you.
Okay.
So for those of us that escape to the bathroom to have quiet time away from our kids, Jennifer said we can stretch that out another 15 or 30 minutes.
Okay. We've all been there, so...
But you're next, okay?
Is there a question on Zoom?
There is, but she's...
Okay. Well, I'm Leslie Alcoholic, and thank you, Jennifer. I do appreciate the 11-step insight that you share this evening. And my question is this. I mean, clearly you've got some connection to something that might be remotely called a deity, and not everyone does. And how have you worked with any such people? And in your experience, how have you worked with them in order to grow a meditation practice? Because I believe it's important, like desperately important, for people to stay sober. That's my own opinion. And sometimes I'll start like sit quiet for a minute. But just what do you do, and how do you approach it, and how do you answer those objections?
I haven't really worked with a lot of women who don't have any sense of a higher power at all and don't want to. Most of the women I've worked with over the years have been willing, or they have what they believe to be a relationship with a god. Usually it's the religion of their childhood. If, you know, if they walk in the door and want to connect with something, that's a lot of times where they go. For me, in the last 20 years, my home group has been a prayer and meditation meeting. So a lot of the women I sponsor who are younger in sobriety, that's where they start out. Learning about prayer and meditation is at that meeting. And I think it has helped them. Some of the women I sponsor who sponsor new women bring them there as well, because it's a practice. I mean, it's not a direction. It's not me saying, now you sit down at home and, you know, you sit for prayer and meditation. I'm actually there. There's a group of people. They can practice. And one of the women that I worked with for a long time is Buddhist, and so that is a huge part of Buddhism is meditative practice. And she attends that meeting and is very helpful. Some of them have taken classes with her. Even my son took a class with her just to learn meditative practice. So I don't know if that answers it, Leslie, but...
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Helen, it's you. You're up.
Hi, everyone. Helen Schaefer, Alcoholic, and this is really, 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 really strange. Because I was getting, and it scares me because Leslie was the one that asked it, but my question was, what if someone is still using the group as their higher power?
Oh, okay.
How to get them through step 11?
That you're right, that really actually is the answer. That it's, she's saying, if what if someone is using the group as their higher power, how do you get them through step 11? Same way, you know, the same. I mean, they could be using any number of higher powers, you know, choices, and meditation is not really affected by that. It's really a quieting of the mind. It's a spiritual practice, but it's not connected to a particular higher power or, you know, religion or and having a meeting, having a home group that offers meditative practice is really an advantage when working with new people. So if you have new people, you know, and you're working with someone new and you want them to learn a practice in meditation, our meeting is a good place to bring them, I think.
Thanks, and tell Leslie to stop texting during the meeting.
Okay, you're supposed to stop texting during the meeting.
Show up at the meeting and then I'll just...
She's just blushing. That's... Thanks, Helen, because we didn't know, but now we do.
The bad kids always sit in the back row.
That's why she's sitting in the back row.
Who else has a question for Jennifer? Thanks, Jennifer. I have two questions. First is, you mentioned, I think, that you've selected 1 to 3 as your time to for prayer and meditation. My first question is, what were your thought processes to get you to that point in the day? And my second question is, I think you mentioned that as part of your year or day-end review, you used to do it in writing. Mm-hmm. My question is whether or not you encourage folks that you work with to do that as well when they're starting.
I'll answer your second question first. I do encourage them to put it in writing if they are not past step 4 and 5, because they need to learn to start writing so that when they get to step 4, they're writing. You know, they're comfortable writing, and you know, it's a good way to start journaling right away as soon as they get in the door. And I mean, it just worked for me. I can't really guide anybody down a path I haven't gone, but that's what worked for me early on. Before I had completed the steps the first time around, I did a lot of writing at night before I went to bed. So I do suggest that when they're new. The second question is, it was organic, the 1 to 3 thing. I think my biorhythm just drops, and I just get quiet at that time. I get up really early. I stay up reasonably late at night. Those are, you know, different times for me. But in the afternoon, I just get real quiet. I've had my own business for a long time, so I had the opportunity to listen to my body and my mind and follow it. And that's where it led me.
Who else?
Hi, Jim, alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
So you said you have a mantra.
Yes.
When you meditate, should everybody have a mantra?
Not necessarily.
I guess if somebody, and the reason I'm asking is because if somebody walked up to me right now and asked me what a mantra is, I wouldn't be able to give them a good answer. I could look it up when I get home, but I'd rather hear you explain about your mantra or a mantra.
A mantra is a sound, or for me, it's a little prayer that is repetitive, that just, it's a message. It's my message to the universe. You know, maybe in some people, you know, in Hindu religion, is a mantra. I have a little prayer that is a repetitive prayer that just calms my mind and
at a point in that 2 hours, does that just kind of stop on its own because you've gotten into your, you know, your zone or whatever of meditation, that now you're not repeating the mantra anymore? Like, it just kind of stops?
I don't meditate the whole 2 hours. I do
okay.
Reading.
Oh, because you read and
like
stuff
that.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
When I'm meditating, like at our meditation meeting, I keep the mantra the whole time.
The whole time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the more I get lost in the mantra, it's just a repetitive, positive kind of prayer message, whatever it is for you, the less connected with what I was thinking when I walked in the door, what I'm having for dinner later, you know, less connected I am with that, and the more in the moment.
It could be various things for you. It's a particular prayer. For Jim, it's the music. Okay, great. Thank you.
Who else has a question? Anyone else on Zoom?
Terry don't have any questions.
Does Kevin have a question?
Well, we don't.
Gretchen.
Gretchen has other questions. Well, as long as we're together, we might as well get all this out of the way.
Gretchen, alcoholic.
No, and something that Jim asked got me to thinking. Because, and it's a great question, because not a lot of people are familiar with using mantras and what that is. And the way that I learned about a mantra was through doing a labyrinth, which was also something new to me. And for nobody who knows, a labyrinth is a path that's created kind of in a maze that you walk and you do that repetitive prayer, word, whatever, to yourself to get centered. So my question is, do you have any tools that you use like that in your meditation, like a labyrinth or some other type of more physical tool? You know, some people have a finger labyrinth or different things like that. Yeah. Have you ever explored that?
Oh, yeah. I have a labyrinth at the park two blocks from my house. So I've walked that many times. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I've used that. But I'm trying to think if there's been anything else. Physical. I don't know. I love to walk. You know. That's kind of a meditation. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, Leslie Alcoholic. This is really a quick question,
okay,
Jennifer, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on this. I participate in a meditation meeting, obviously not yours, because you would have seen me there. But, you know, I have heard in the meditation meeting I do attend, it's the woman, long sober, like into 40 plus years, talks about meditation as being a way of quieting her nervous system. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Sure.
I got the mic, thanks.
He owns the mic.
I'm still making payments. Anyway, on this step, this people who are new to this step and they come, you know, they go through the steps like the first time, like, you know, in 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8 months, and they're through the steps, and they get to this 11th step. And do you have, like, any suggested readings or people that they could, that you could say to the people who are listening to this that they could look up or follow through on that? As far as, you know, people that you read, like either Emmett Fox or just different people.
All of the Emmett Fox, Pema Chodron, Tolle. There's a lot of readings you can do, because I really think this is be here now step. I really do. And so anything that is... any spiritual reading that, or spiritual teacher who is bringing you back to the moment, helping you live in the moment in today, or develop some sort of practice to do that, Pema Chodron is probably the one who teaches meditation in her books and in her her CDs or tapes or whatever, videos, most literally. The Dalai Lama is always a good source, you know, for meditation. I've read and watched and learned from. I've gone to Buddhist temple and when the Rinpoche was in town and meditated there. Practice. It's like everything else. You know, I always say that Jan says, I never got good at anything I didn't practice. So, all those readings that you mentioned, for both prayer and meditation, you know, Emmett Fox, definitely prayer and meditation. Is that good? Yeah. And there are meditation classes if you want, you know, like to actually take a class.
Hi, Jennifer.
Oh, wow. Hello, Loretta.
This is a beast here.
He's still making payments on it.
Because yeah, I was told, of course, prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening to your higher power. That was when I came in, and that's what I hung on to. And I know for myself, no religious upbringing at all. I had a complete blank. So I was blessed because I didn't have anything to go by. When I first came in, my mind was going so fast. If somebody would have said, I want you to go to this meditation meeting and sit there, and I would have walked out. Mm-hmm. So if you get somebody new who's, and it doesn't have to be an alcoholic, I'm an Al-Anon, the thought of that was overwhelming to me. So the second time around, I was more open to it. 5 years down the road, I was more open to it. 10 years, 15 years, you become more open to it. When you get somebody who's brand new, still shaking in their boots, have no God, went through the steps, understand they turned their will and their life over to the care of a God that they understood.
Or didn't.
Or didn't. But they're trying. They're trying. They only have a surface higher power. They only have a surface. How do you deal with someone who says, I'm uncomfortable with the long-term meditation? How do you work step 11 to just say, listen, you don't have to do, I did not know what a mantra was. I'm not a meditator. I have a conscious contact all day, right there.
Right.
And when I lose it, I use my tools to bring me back to it. So my meditation is not quiet time. Even to this point, I can't quiet my mind for longer than a couple minutes.
We can do a meditation together sometime.
I would lose my mind.
No, you wouldn't.
So how do you deal with somebody, a new woman that comes in and says, I'm not comfortable with any of this, and they go like this to you?
They do it.
And
they do it. Brand new people who are at their first AA meeting, they do it. Don't they, Leslie?
Yeah, because they want to get better.
Yep. They do. They sit there, and they're uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes they have to go to the bathroom twice. It's okay, you know. Nobody minds, but yeah, they do. And then it gets easier, and then they start to love it, right? Yeah. But we will. We're going to meditate together, Loretta. Now that's on my list. Terry. Terry's here. Are you? No, you're there.
You're frozen.
I'm frozen. She's animated.
You were frozen.
Oh.
So my question actually is, can there be video of you and Loretta meditating together?
Oh, she said. Only if Gretchen's with us.
Only if Gretchen is with us, Loretta says. I don't know if she'll be running the camera or the... or what, but she can do it, Terry. You know she can. You know?
Yeah, but can the two of you together do it?
Oh, well, there's that. Yeah, I see your point there. Yeah. I believe that we can.
Okay. I do have a legitimate question.
Oh, okay.
There's some new, I don't know where I saw it exactly, but there's another new way to get sober. You know, without a higher power.
Can you hear her?
Because, you know, they come up with them on a regular basis. And so I had a girl who, I actually got her from the answering service. And she was going to do AA, but she was going to do this other, you know, she was going to do AA, but without God. Because this other program, you know, was basically going to do the same thing for her, but without God. So she thought she could do both. Have you run across that, you know, people trying to, you know, trying to talk you into the fact that AA doesn't work and they should, you know, try one of the other programs instead?
I'm going to tell them what you're asking because not everybody could hear you. Terry's asking because she recently ran across a young woman who found one of the other methods to quit drinking alcoholically and didn't need a God or a spiritual program in that. So she thought maybe she could do part of that and part of this. And, you know, I haven't run across any. Well, actually, yeah, I actually have. I actually have. I just recently had had a gal who asked me to sponsor her, but she joined this church, this particular church, and it kept taking the four. She wasn't a member of it prior to that. She just found it, and it, you know, it had a lot of, offered a lot of promises for wellness, and it kept prioritizing over her recovery, the church, and that became, she was not able to do the steps or follow instructions because that was her priority. So we couldn't really work together. So I don't know what your plan is, but I know that half measures availed us nothing, not half. You taught me that. Yeah.
Hey, Jen. Eric, alcoholic.
Eric.
Kind of piggybacking off of Kevin's question, could you recommend, out of those people that wrote books about being in the present, like a Cliff's Notes simple read? Because the ones I've read, it seems like they're on psychedelics when they're writing this book. It's really hard to understand.
Some of them are.
That's like ridiculous. Jethro Tull or Eckhart Tull or whatever his name is.
Eckhart Tull is.
Jesus. Oh my God.
Eckhart Tull. Who is the simplest? Who is the simplest one? Sermon on the Mount, don't you think? Matthew Fox?
Oh,
Emmett Fox. Yeah, that'd be the simplest one. Yes, I know that. Oh. But he said Eckhart Tolle is like a little,
yeah,
got wordy, and it can, yeah, he can be. The Dalai Lama, just like, I have a video, I'll bring it to you, of the Dalai Lama, and just like, watch it. You know, it's.
I read a lot.
Yeah, but Emmett Fox, Sermon on the Mount, is really a wonderful book. I read it early in sobriety. The Four Agreements is another one. Have you read that?
Yeah.
Pema Chodron is, she's a Buddhist. She's, you know, all about meditation, and you can find her tapes, or you can even look at a video if you don't want to read her book, or if you want to, let me know, I'll bring you one.
Yeah.
Start with Fox. It's a good one.
Yeah. Gretchen, alcoholic, and I'm just going to interject for a moment because I have that same issue. I'm not a reader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've done The Power of Now and different things, and you know, for me that was,
mm-hmm,
exhausting.
Yeah, it was a lot. It's a lot.
Somebody gave me the greatest gift. It's called Meditation for Dummies.
Really?
Yes.
Did you all hear that?
Yeah. So there are tools out there, but I guess, and I've learned this from, if none of you have figured this out, Jennifer's my sponsor, and I love her. But one of the things that I've learned from you is it's all about exploration, you know, and there's no finite in it. So, you know, I think this whole idea of meditation is about exploration.
And growth. That's
and
why
growth.
I call growth steps.
Yeah. So, but great question, Eric. Thank you.
Well, I think that does it for time. So thank you, Jennifer.